prophet Isaiah. His prophetic ministry was centered in Jerusalem during the reign of four kings, a period of at least 50 years. Church tradition indicates that Isaiah was martyred by being sawn in two. See Hebrews 11:27. By Hezekiah, son of Manasseh, who was probably the most evil of all Jewish kings. Part one was an introduction and summary of the first 12 chapters, including in the dramatic calling of Isaiah in chapters 6, verses 1 through 7. Part two looked at chapters 13 through 39 and the pronouncement of judgments of the people of Judah in their turning away from God, but with flashes of love and care from God. This section concluded with Hezekiah praying to the temple and the miraculous saving of Jerusalem by God, who annihilated the Syrian army in their sleep. This talk will review chapters 40 through 66 and is about the future and restoration of God's people. Note, there are 39 chapters about judgments of God and calling out of his people, a number which is the same as the number of books in the Old Testament. In this future-looking section, there are 27 chapters, the same as the number of books in the New Testament. I do not think that is a coincidence. In the first subsection, chapters 40 through 48, there's a final section, God delivers his people. In my opinion, Isaiah 45:22 is a particularly poignant verse. In this regard, I quote, "Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other," end quote. The first imperative, turn, or look, in some translations, should beget the second, be saved. This look is turning aside to concentrate on God. Moses turned aside to look at the burning bush and saw God. Moses lifted the servant for the people to look attention and be saved, and they were saved in Numbers 21:9. He did not require them to do anything else, just look. The look is that one of turning to God, that is the look of conversion. That's Psalms 22:27. Seems so simple, just look. Let me suggest it is spiritually difficult to concentrate on God unless you are troubled spiritually or physically. When we are doused with blessings, we will certainly give our thanks, but our attention usually is somewhere else. We do perform service for him. We do really look at him, but we really don't look at him. At a time of trial, the world says, don't stand there, do something. The Christian is admonished to stand there, don't do anything, just pray. Look at me and be saved. In the final subsection of chapters 58 through 66, while there are some judgments still made, these chapters are about the restoration of Israel and the world. In chapter 61, 1 through 3, there is a strong suggestion for the doctrine of the Holy Spirit when Jesus in Luke 4:18 was handed the scroll in the synagogue in Nazareth. He read an abbreviated portion of this scripture and concluded with, to proclaim the Lord's day, or favor. And then he said to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Chapter 60 prophesizes that with the coming of Messiah, the glory of the Lord would come upon his people and many nations would come to the light. These verses are applied in Matthew 4:16 through 17 to Jesus, anointed when he was anointed to his ministry after the confrontation with Satan. They begin by, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, etc. One verse that I found to be particularly compelling from a personal application consideration was chapter 60, verse 1. I quote, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you, end quote. While here it is applied to Messiah, it seems to me that there is a personal dimension to be realized. I submit it applies to both non-believer and believer. In the case of a non-believer seeing the light, they must first take a step without any help from God. Once that step is taken, they find that God was there waiting for them to take action and display energy. In the believer's case, it is a response to God's will with a light of your own. However, there are many things in the kingdom which are not exciting or exhilarating, but properly identified as drudgery. It will reveal one's spiritual genuineness of an individual, how he handles drudgery. The example Jesus himself gives us in John 13, when he washes his disciples' feet. There are tasks and ministries to which some will be given that involve working in drudgery for extended periods. Some will be able to stay with drudgery, some will not, and do it the way that gives glory to the Lord. Your light is shining. It will transform the duty. Today, we need to hear the prophet say, "Woe to them that go somewhere else other than the Lord for help." God wants us to recognize him in a personal, local, and national affairs. Judah and Israel were so weakened by corruption and cultural delay that they were easily overrun by aggressor nations. Isaiah spent his life trying to get Judah to listen to hear God's word of love and promises of doing it his way, and all would be well. He wanted them to trust wholly into God's guidance. If not, there would be judgment, and there was. Close with the thought. Do you ever find ourselves a little hesitant to unreservedly commit an area of our life to the Lord for fear of what he might require? If that is the case, then we haven't seen him in all his beauty yet. And that's by Joyce Turner. So I give you blessings of the day and ask you to rise and shine for the Lord's service. Good day.